You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
If you don't know me, if you're new here, my name is Gavin. I am the coordinator here at HSM. I'm also the leader for the 10th grade boys. Where are my 10th grade boys at? Yes. Shout out sophomores. And yeah, fun fact about me, if you couldn't already tell, I'm a huge Eagles fan. But I am super excited to be here tonight to kick off our new series, which is called More Than Sex, Why God Can Be Trusted and How We Can Love Him with Our Relationships. And I love that we're doing that this month because it's February. It's the month of love. This week is Valentine's Day week. So I know y'all are thinking about, you know, who you're going to ask out or who you're going to send flowers to or ask to be your Valentine. So I'm stoked to be talking a lot about love and relationships in this series. Our theme verse for this series is 1 John 3:16. Not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16, which says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." So, to start off, this week we're talking about dating and boundaries. So I thought I'd tell you guys a little bit of like a funny or embarrassing story about my dating life, just to get us started off. So I know last time I was up here during Christmas, I talked to you guys about my elementary school crush, which was fun. Now you get to hear about my most recent crush, a funny story about that. So I had a crush on this girl for a very long time. Her name is Caroline. It was like most of my final year at APU. So this was last school year. And we played on the sand volleyball intramural team together. We would, me and my friends and what? Yeah, intramural, like just for fun. I'm not good at it. Don't worry. I got hit in the face a couple times at the ball. We would always hang out there or on the weekends, all of our friends together. And I had no idea if she liked me back or if she'd even have any interest in actually dating me. But the number one mistake I made in this situation was, and the number one mistake you can make if you don't want your secret crush getting out is I told my mom about her. I love my mom so much, and I love telling her about these parts of my life and including her in those parts of my life, but she always gets so excited for me. I'm sure a lot of you have moms like that who are like they love all the hot gossip, and they're constantly like, "Oh, do you have a crush on them? Do you have a crush on them? What about them?" And you're like, "Mom, I don't have a crush on like every single person in the universe." But when I told her about her, I didn't really think much about it. And then graduation last year rolled around, and my family lives across the country, so they don't really know any of the people in my life. They don't really know faces and names and stuff like that. And so I was excited to like introduce them to everybody. And so it's after graduation, I'm like hugging everyone, taking pictures with everyone. And my mom is like shaking everyone's hand, and like she's like, "Oh, what's your name? Like, it's so nice to meet you. What's your name? It's so nice to meet you." Very normal. And then she gets to Caroline, and she's like, "And you must be Caroline." And I'm like, bro, like, she, like, literally sold me out in front of, like, I was like, that looks so, like, she basically just, like, told her, like, "Oh, I talk about you to my mom." And, like, she didn't know anyone else's name, but she knew her. I probably looked like such a creep. I was, like, so shocked and embarrassed. So the moral of that story is, if you don't want your crush to know that you like them just yet, don't tell your mom. No, that's not the real lesson. But the outcome of that story is that she's actually now my girlfriend. So if we could show the picture on the screen, That is Caroline. That's my girlfriend. We have been together since October. It's been really awesome. I love her so much, and it's been just really great getting to grow in our relationship together and grow in our relationships with Jesus together. And at some point, I would love for her to come by and meet all of you because she's really awesome. But yeah, now that you guys know a little embarrassing story from my dating life, I figured we'd just jump right into talking about dating and boundaries. And I wanted to come up here and give you guys both some personal and biblical advice on dating and how to honor God in your relationships. And I don't want to claim to know everything about relationships because no one gets it perfect. Everyone makes mistakes, not just in romantic relationships, but in platonic relationships too. And it's about how we focus on our attention on God in those relationships and remembering how to love the people we date the way that Jesus would have a relationship with them. So you're not going to be perfect in your dating life, and I'm definitely not, but I'm here to help guide you on how to trust God and how to love him in your dating life. So there's actually not a lot in the Bible about dating, but there is a lot about relationships. If we look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7, it says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." So we can see here that it's not talking, you know, word for word about dating, but it's talking about love. And hopefully we love the person that we date or love the person that we want to date. But yeah, this is giving us very like basic advice on just how to love other people well. And then my student leaders in the room will know this one very well. In Mark 12, 31, it talks about how the second most important commandment after loving God is loving your neighbor as yourself. But aside from these general guidelines that we see in the Bible about loving others and relationships, when it comes to romantic relationships, when it comes to dating and marriage, God's word is very upside down from the world's perspective and what the world says you should do in relationships. I think we can all agree that the world says to date whoever you want to date, because if you like someone, why wouldn't you date them? Or our culture even says, you know, sleep with whoever you want to sleep with because you want it, so it can't be bad, right? In fact, I'd even go as far as to say that our culture a lot of times pressures you guys into feeling like you need to be in a relationship. Our culture says you have to be in a relationship to be happy. But what I want to tell you guys tonight is that your relationship status is not your identity. Whether you are single or dating, your relationship status should not be the most important thing in your life. Your identity is in Christ, who has saved you from sin and wants a relationship with you before you enter into a relationship with anybody else. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, it says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." So if we look at this verse, it doesn't say, you know, fix your eyes on that guy or that girl or who you can date at school or who you're going to marry someday. It says fix your eyes on Jesus, which I think means that our best shot at being a godly boyfriend or a godly girlfriend only happens when you have a close and intimate relationship with Jesus. Every relationship in your life and how you act in those relationships will flow out of your relationship with Christ and what you believe in him. So if you believe that you are, you know, like the master of your own life, if you believe that you and your desires and your own needs are the most important, then you're gonna end up using girls and boys for your own gratification because, you know, it's all about you. And when you do that, you're gonna end up living a life that feels empty and disappointing and unfulfilling. But when you believe that Jesus is the master of your life, that he is the God of the universe, and that he says every person is made in his image and is valuable and worthwhile, then you can't take advantage. Then you won't take advantage of her or him, or you'll think about their feelings before anything else. You'll end up respecting and honoring them because you have Jesus at the center of your life. So that leads me to my next point, which is Jesus should be your first priority before you can think about dating. Prioritizing your relationship with him should be number one over anybody else. So I want you guys to ask yourselves, how close are you to Jesus right now? How much of a priority is he in your life? If you're not super close to him, or if he's not a priority, if he's not the center of your life, then you probably shouldn't be dating right now. And if he is, you also shouldn't date someone who doesn't have him as their number one priority. And we'll get to that a little bit later. And I don't want you guys to think I'm saying that your relationship with Jesus has to be perfect, because none of us will ever have a perfect relationship with Jesus. But I do think that you guys know in your heart whether he is number one or something else is, or someone else is. And I promise you that if someone else is a higher priority over him in your life, that will have a negative effect on your relationships and on your dating life. Because of this, because we should be keeping our main focus on God, and again, I know that sounds countercultural, and that's not what the world tells us to do. I want to look at Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, which says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect world." So this verse is saying that we shouldn't just do whatever we want with our desires for romance, or that desire for that guy or that girl. We should offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, allowing him to guide us in the decisions we make for who we date and how we date. So how do we do that? How do we date in a way that honors God rather than just honors ourselves for our own desires and our own pleasures? My next point is, dating is not about what you can get out of a relationship. It's about serving another person like Jesus. So this is highlighted really, really well in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 7, which is your memory verse on your sermon notes there. It says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." So here we see your relationship isn't about what you want out of it, or what you can take from them, what you can take from that person. It's about serving that person. God is commanding us to, in our relationships, humble ourselves before the other person, serving them in any way that we can, and showing them God's love. And I think the biggest temptation for us when it comes to dating, sometimes without even realizing it, is desiring a relationship for the wrong reasons and desiring it for what we can get out of it. And obviously there's give and take in relationships. Obviously you want to date someone who can also show you love. But we think we want a relationship because, you know, they just seem so perfect for us. Like, you know, he's so cute and he's so nice to me and he treats me so well. But then next thing you know, he's, you know, flirting with other girls, or, you know, she's so supportive of me and I can tell her anything. And then she's not there when you need her the most. In reality, we want that relationship because of what we can get out of it. But then we realize that those things we want don't last forever. Sometimes they don't even last a day or a week or a month. And I think there's four big things that we can sometimes, you know, intentionally or unintentionally want out of a dating relationship, what we can get from them. One would be attention. As humans, we have a basic need to be loved and receive attention from other people. And I think we can all agree that feels even better when it's coming from the person that we're attracted to. Another would be status. Being in a relationship looks good. It shows that someone loves you, and you get to, you know, post cute stuff on Instagram and show everyone how happy you are and go do things together. The third would be companionship. You know, we can be lonely and we want someone to do life alongside with, someone we know cares more about us than anyone else in the world. And then number four would be pleasure. I know it can be uncomfortable to talk about, but I think sometimes we can be tempted to date because of the physical and sexual pleasure that it can bring us. But guys, I want you to know that if you're dating someone purely for any of those reasons, you guys need to check yourselves really quick, because that's only gonna end in pain for you and probably even more pain for the other person. God wants you to be in a relationship with someone who pushes you closer to him, not someone who can make you look good or feel good. And if you're unsure whether you're in it for the wrong reasons, if you're wanting to date for the wrong reasons, or if you're dating for the wrong reasons, I'd encourage you to look into Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. Chapter 139 is like such a good chapter. There's so many good things in there. But these verses say, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way after everlasting." It can be so hard sometimes, and I know this is a very real feeling where, that crush you have or that overwhelming feeling of love for someone, it can cloud your judgment so quickly. But I would encourage you to pray that prayer and ask yourself, you know, are you just excited about the idea of dating, or is there actually a person that you're interested in? Or do you actually like him or her, or just the idea of him or her? I want to look at John 15, verses 12 to 13, which says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." If God's command is to love us, or if God's command to us is to love others the way he has loved us, then should we be engaging in a relationship with someone if we just want attention? Or just because we want to be able to say we have a boyfriend or girlfriend, or just for pleasure? God doesn't want a relationship with us for any of those reasons, so why should we? He wants a relationship with us because he loves us and knows we need a relationship with him in order to have eternal life. His love is unconditional. Therefore, we should want a relationship with someone who shows us unconditional love and points us towards Jesus. And as I was reading through this, I was convicted to talk about something that I know is like will probably resonate with a lot of people, because it's a very real thing. But I wanted to talk about situationships for a second. Because I feel like this kind of addresses that. So I don't know if any of you guys are, you know, have found yourself in a situationship, or if you have in the past, or find yourselves in a lot of situationships. But what I wanted to say is that it is not Christ-like to lead someone on into thinking you want to date them and then treat them like your girlfriend or boyfriend when you have no intention of dating them or are unsure of whether you want to date them. Yes. I think I just broke the mic. No. Okay, we're good. I removed the bottom of the mic for a sec. And also, if you're on the other end of that, you deserve so much better. You deserve someone who's going to engage in an intentional and committed relationship with you, just as Jesus does with us. Jesus doesn't lead us on. He doesn't deceive us. He doesn't choose to love us in some moments and then push us away in other moments. Jesus didn't do situationships. He does relationships. I want you guys to always be asking yourselves, whether you're dating someone or just in a talking stage with someone, or even if you're single, would Jesus treat me like he or she is treating me? And vice versa, would Jesus treat him or her how I am treating them? If the answer is no to any of those questions, you're not aligned with God's plan for your romantic life. If the answer is no to those questions, or you feel like you're in a situationship that's headed nowhere near an actual relationship, then you got to get out because you deserve so much better, and you should be so much better. You deserve someone who wholly embodies the love of Christ, who wants to be with you, not just now, but in the future, who hopefully wants to bring you closer to him. So my next point is you can't always choose who you are attracted to, but you can always choose who you date. And you shouldn't date everyone you are attracted to. I'm sure a lot of you in this room have had a crush on someone you knew wasn't good for you. You knew they'd be bad for you, or things wouldn't work between you, or they just aren't a good person, but they're just so cute, and you just want to date them so bad. And I know that's hard, guys. I really do. But in full transparency, I've done that. I've dated people in the past who I already knew I shouldn't date because they didn't have a relationship with God, or because I knew it wouldn't work out in the end. But I did it anyways because it felt so good to be loved by someone who I found attractive. But it always ended in pain, because when your relationship isn't centered on Christ, or you ignore his plans for your relationship status, it's gonna end in heartbreak. God has much bigger plans for you and for your dating life than you can ever imagine. You just have to listen to him. If the person you're dating does not follow Christ, they're not for you. Because they're never gonna fully understand you. They're never gonna fully understand your relationship with Jesus and how that has changed your life. I wanna look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, which really talks about this a lot. It says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" So I've heard this verse before. I'm sure a lot of you have too. And I always kind of got like the general idea of it, but I was confused because I was like, what does yoked mean? Like, are we talking like egg yolk here? Like someone, like, is he saying like you shouldn't date someone that's like yoked, like goes to the gym a lot or something? But actually, if we can show the picture up on the screen, I'll show you guys what they're talking about here. A yoke was a harness that was used, no worries. I feel like I could paint a good picture for you guys. So a yoke was like a harness that was used by oxen and other animals, to like ease the work of like hauling something really heavy. So there'd be like two oxen, two cows, and they had like this kind of like wooden beam on them that was like a harness, and they would like kind of pull it to drag something really heavy. And so what it's saying here is that the yoke kind of represents like the bond of a romantic relationship. A Christian and a non-Christian in a relationship with each other is like if like an oxen and like a chicken were trying to pull a cart in like this like yoke harness together. Because like one is doing all the work while the other is too weak to do anything or help at all. I think another common term that's used for this is called missionary dating. I don't know if any of you guys have heard of missionary dating. It's basically like, you know, you're dating someone because like obviously like you love them, you're really attracted to them, but you're also dating them because they don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you're trying to convince them to have a relationship with Jesus. But that does not work, trust me, guys. Because then not only are you bearing the responsibility of your own relationship with Jesus, but you're bearing the responsibility of their relationship with Jesus too. So if you're spending all of your time not only trying to love them and date them, but also convincing them to commit their life to Christ, while also trying to draw closer to Jesus yourself, you're just gonna burn out, all for no guarantee that person will love God or love you the way that Jesus loves you. You're unequally yoked. You're bearing the weight of something that is meant for two people. My next point is dating should always have the purpose of pursuing marriage. So Again, there's not a lot of talk in the Bible. There's no talk in the Bible, actually, about dating. That word isn't anywhere in the Bible. But God does talk a lot about marriage. He says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, "That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." So we see right at the beginning of the Bible, you know, from the beginning of time, God talking about marriage and being a man being united with his wife. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 10, it says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up." Again, kind of showing us what this relationship of marriage looks like. And I know marriage is far off for most of, if not all of you, which is why I'm encouraging you to reflect on why you're in a relationship in the first place, or why you want a relationship so bad. Because if that's not something you're interested in, if marriage isn't something you're interested in, then maybe you shouldn't be dating right now. If your plan isn't to marry or at least get to know that person to see if they are someone you want to marry, then you're probably going to get hurt, and God wants to protect you from that. If you're not dating for marriage and a long-term future with the other person, then you're dating for the wrong reasons. Now, the last subject that I want to touch on tonight is what God's plans are for sex and sexual boundaries. So now we're going to get into the awkward stuff. But I don't think it should be awkward, because God talks about sex and sexual boundaries a lot in the Bible. So I feel like this is something we should address, because it's very real and relevant today. And I think a lot of us as Christians sometimes can feel like sex is wrong. But sex is a beautiful thing that God created, but it is to be enjoyed between husband and wife, united in marriage. So again, we go back to that verse I just brought up, Genesis 2:24. It talks about the husband and wife becoming one flesh. That's talking about them being in a sexual relationship. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, it talks about this in a little bit more detail. God commands married people to only experience sex with their spouse. So it says, "Now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband." So this is literally, like, word for word, the Bible is saying to have sex as long as it is within the confines of marriage. And earlier in 1 Corinthians, there's another verse that I feel like is more, you know, applicable to you guys and how you can set sexual boundaries in your relationships. It's really great stuff. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 13, and it says, "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but the Lord is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." I want to repeat that first verse again. "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial." And I want to talk a little bit about how this verse kind of applies to my life, and how this verse applies to me and my experience with dating. Because I really struggled with this. I struggled in high school a lot with sexual boundaries. I had a girlfriend, and we crossed that boundary of not having sex before marriage. And I wanted to share that with you guys and be fully transparent, because I learned firsthand why God so clearly tells us to have those boundaries in the Bible. Because what my problem was, and what I think a lot of our problems can be with setting boundaries, is that it feels like God puts that rule in place for no reason. It just tells us, we just think he tells us, like, you know, you can't have sex before marriage because I said so. We think, why would God keep something that seems so good and so full of love away from me? or there's no way this can be bad because I love this person so much and I want to be with them. And I know that that's what it was for me in my experience. It wasn't enough for me to stay away from this with my girlfriend at the time just because God tells us we shouldn't do it. I loved this person so much that, you know, there couldn't possibly be anything wrong with not setting those physical boundaries. And then I saw all the heartbreak and pain that caused me to become that intimate with someone who I didn't even end up with in the end. And it really tore me apart. It was the lowest place I've ever been in my entire life, like mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And I saw that God's not just needlessly telling us not to do things just because he can. It's because he cares about us so deeply and wants to protect us from the pain and suffering of becoming that intimate with someone just to lose them in the end. He wants to give that to us and bless us with something so special like sex when we have found our spouse and are united with them in marriage. And I wanted to tell you guys that because everyone experiences sexual temptation. That's not going to go away. It's not something that goes away once you're in a relationship. That's not something that you can control. And God designed us to be sexual beings because sex is a gift he has given us to be enjoyed with the person that we marry. And by the end of tonight, I don't want you thinking that your desire for a boyfriend or girlfriend or your desire for marriage in the future or even your sexuality is a bad thing, because it's not. What we can and should control, though, is putting boundaries in place that will help prevent us from giving up something that Jesus is so eager to gift us with once we are united with our partner in marriage. So I want to repeat that again. I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything is going to bring you happiness and love, even if it feels like it in the moment with your boyfriend or with your girlfriend. There are a lot of things you can do with the person you date. It doesn't mean you should do them, because not everything is beneficial for you or your relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend or your relationship with Jesus. So the last thing I wanted to leave you with was dating should draw you closer to Jesus, not away from him. Matthew chapter 22, verse 30 says, "At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven." So if we look at this, Jesus should be at the center of our lives, because what truly matters in the end is that we get to spend eternity with him. He gifts us with the joy and love that a relationship here on earth can bring us temporarily. But in the end, we should be focusing our eyes on him, because he is forever. Jesus loves every single one of you guys more than anyone on this earth ever can or ever will. So you should turn your attention to him first, before you're dating and even while you're dating. He wants to use your relationship for your good and his glory. So as I close, we're gonna head into some life group time. You've got your sermon notes, your leader guides there. There's some questions on there for you guys to discuss. I would just encourage you to really take some time to go in depth on those and really reflect on how some of this can be applied to your own life. I'm just going to close this in prayer as you guys head out. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this time you get together to just be here at HSM and spend time with you and learn more about you. I just pray over life group time that you would just speak to us, and that we would have intentional and genuine conversations, that all the students here would be brave to ask the questions that they have, and that you would just speak to them through the leaders in this room. I pray all this in your name. Amen.